Good morning. I'm Khaki Walton. Checking on the arts is made possible by contributing listeners, the Community Foundation of Greater Memphis, and the Orpheum Theater. The Communities in Conversation lecture series at Rhodes College will feature Dr. Claire Colebrook of Penn State University to speak as part of the global celebration of the 200th anniversary of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. That's Thursday, November the 15th at 6 p.m. at Hardy Auditorium, and a reception will proceed the lecture at 5:30 p.m. This is free and open to the public, and here to talk more about it is the Spence L. Wilson Chair in the Humanities at Rhodes, Jonathan Judakin, and the Professor of English and the new Director of the Search Program at Rhodes College, Judy Haas. Nice to have you both here. Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
First of all, if people don't know about the Communities in Conversation series, you want to tell them a little bit about it?
Sure. I mean, we come on regularly and talk about it. The idea is to create a platform where we invite people to campus so that they can engage with the kinds of things that we're doing in our research, in our classrooms, that we want to make available to the campus community. All of these are conversations that generally have some kind of a direct topical interest. Mm-hmm. And it's really about showing the ways in which scholars and intellectuals work is really relevant to the kinds of conversations that people are having across the dinner table, in their churches, on the internet, but to do so from a more scholarly perspective, to bring that breadth and depth of insight. So this is, you know, this talk about Frankenstein at 200 is going to be another opportunity. In this case, as we'll talk more about it, it's going to be looking at it through an environmental lens.
That's so interesting. Before we get into that part of our conversation, Judy, you're the new director of the search program. Tell people about this. This is part of the humanities curriculum at Rhodes, correct?
Yes, that's correct. So there are two pathways that all students choose between at Rhodes, and they're intended to be part of the humanities core. So every student takes 3 semesters of a humanities course. There's the life program that is taught out of religious studies, and there's the search program that is interdisciplinary. So faculty from pretty much all of the humanities departments at Rhodes. So English, modern languages, philosophy, religious studies, Greek and Roman studies. There's more, but I will probably forget them. So we come together as a faculty and come up with a syllabus that is kind of basically a great books syllabus that begins with sort of the early epic poetry, Gilgamesh, Homer's Iliad and Odyssey, and takes us through Greek philosophy. We read Virgil's Aeneid, we read Dante, and then the third semester is a little bit more open. Faculty choose, have a more freedom to sort of choose the set of readings that we do. But almost all of us always teach Frankenstein, and that's turned into a really key text for us to think about. I think it touches, because it's such a wide-ranging text, you can do almost anything with it, and it speaks really directly to almost any theme that we're following. So that's where we came to with this.
This is kind of like Rhodes' edition of The Great American Read on PBS or something, I feel like. Well, what makes Frankenstein a classic novel? What makes you want to revisit that every year?
Well, I think my interest in it has always been it's a kind of early feminist novel. It's Mary Shelley was the daughter of Mary Wollstonecraft, so a lot of the sort of feminist stuff. Mary Wollstonecraft, who was probably the grandmother of first wave feminism, maybe the mother. I'm not sure what the lineage exactly is, but she was a radical intellectual in the late 18th century, and so her daughter Mary filtered a lot of her mother's work, her mother's ideas into Frankenstein, but made it. It's a novel of many voices, and so there's no. It's written in letters, and so there's no clear narrative narrative control. There's no narrator telling you how to think about it, how to understand it. And so it opens up to many different readings. It's also what we think of as the first science fiction novel. I don't think it is the first one, but it's sort of a keystone science fiction novel, with the creature created by Frankenstein as this kind of prototype of the android, of the cyborg, who could potentially, you know, take the place of humans. There's all this sort of dread around him. So those are some of the things that I think about.
Yeah, and if I could just supplement that.
Sure.
I mean, the other thing about it is Mary Shelley is at the absolute center of romanticism. She's married to Shelley, the poet, and this novel itself is created in the context of a conversation in which her sister and Lord Byron and Shelley and she are telling these horror stories over a fire at Lake Geneva, I think it is. Then she begins to write it at an incredibly young age. So the other aspect is the, you know, romanticism and the ways in which there are these amazing, sublime representations of nature itself that are brought about in the course of the novel, her own story. They just made a major motion picture about it. It screened in Memphis for like a week, and I missed it. I did notice that it is playing on YouTube, but her story itself, I mean, and her relationship with Shelley and how this novel gets written and the fact that Shelley is the one that initially is credited with it because it's published anonymously, and the fact that a woman would have written it is seen as impossible or somehow scandalous. It's really only until 1831 that it's published in her own name. And then the novel itself is picked up by later feminists who come back and reread it in interesting ways. So it's just on so many levels, unlike the sort of popular caricatured versions of Frankenstein, the young Frankenstein, or the popular representations that happen kind of after the Boris Karloff movie comes out. When you read the novel, it's an incredibly interesting work that opens out onto all kinds of different issues that you can explore with students.
I don't think it was on the list of things that I studied when I was going to school, but now I'm excited to go back and read it. You know, as a mature person, because if you've seen the movies, you don't know the story. That's not really the story, so you need to read it. What led you to bring Dr. Colebrook in to talk about it?
Well, I think it was my suggestion when Jonathan was talking about doing something for the 200th anniversary. I was trying to sort of think of like, well, who am I interested in right now? And Claire Colebrook, I'm really interested in her work. She's a cultural theorist. And I thought of her for this because she's has such an incredibly wide range of scholarship. She is a her first book was on John Milton, about Paradise Lost. So she has a kind of one foot firmly in 17th and 18th century English literature. But she's also a philosopher. She writes a lot. I guess we think of her as a cultural theorist. And she's really interested in science fiction and in particular narratives of the apocalypse and post-apocalypse. So she writes about Blade Runner. She writes about Cormac McCarthy's The Road. And so she brings the sensibility of why are we so obsessed with the end of the world and with stories about the end of the world at this particular time, and what do we mean by the end of the world? And those are some of the things that interest me about the way she's theorizing these things and looking at our way of talking about it and telling stories. And I also knew that she was very interested in Mary Wollstonecraft and had written about Shelley. So I thought that she's also on the forefront of thinking about climate change and about this sort of the role of the humanities within the age called the Anthropocene, which is the current unofficial term for our epoch.
So you mentioned this, Jonathan, and you just touched on it with climate change. She's looking at this work of literature through an environmental lens. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, at least from the blurb, we've only been given a teaser. Frankenstein tends to get read as a novel that is about It's subtitled The Modern Prometheus. Mm-hmm. And the Prometheus myth is, of course, the myth of Prometheus, who steals fire from the gods and who wants to use it in order to enhance human happiness. Mm-hmm. And he was ultimately punished for that. This is the modern Prometheus. It's an allegory, of course, about a scientist who wants to use the latest technology and the latest science in order to reanimate something that has been dead, right? Mm-hmm. And what she wants to do that I think is different is the novel always seems to be read as a cautionary tale about the overreach of science and technology. It tends to be read from the perspective, therefore, of Dr. Frankenstein. If you're not familiar with the novel, you tend to think of Frankenstein as the name of the orphaned creature that is created by Dr. Frankenstein, but in the novel, he's not actually named, or it is not named. They are not named. I don't know what the right pronoun would be these days.
They even refer to the creature.
Yeah. She wants to read the novel from the perspective of the orphaned creature. So she wants to look at the questions that the novel necessarily asks about what is the relationship between human beings and nature. The Anthropocene is a way of naming human beings' effect on the environment. But she wants to do so from the perspective of the sensibilities that the creature brings. And the creature is actually someone who is caring, loving, thoughtful, deeply desiring of the parent who has created him to connect with him. Mm-hmm. And it's only with the failure of that he turns into a murderer. So I'm not sure exactly the ways in which he's going to read the allegory. That's the excitement of sort of being there and hearing what she does with it. But she's a really sophisticated, interesting thinker who's bringing all these contemporary concerns to the way in which she rereads works of literature and other kinds of texts. One of the things is really like what are the ways in which we're going to take responsibility for what effects we do have on the environment?
Yeah.
You can argue about climate change if you want to, although it's clear that the science is what the science says and climate change is real and mm-hmm. creating huge devastation in the world. But what you can't argue with is that we are having an impact, and ultimately what that means is we need to take responsibility for that. That's a big question the novel asks and that the creature asks of us.
Mm. Oh, my goodness. So there's a reception beforehand, and I'm wondering if after Dr. Colebrook lectures, will she open it up to questions? Will people be able to ask
yes,
her?
Yes. I think that will be the case.
I hope so.
These are generally, the talks are generally about 45 minutes, and uh-huh. then there's a 45-minute Q&A, and, you know, I always tell folks who come, the Q&A is always the best part, because that's when you really get in on the action. And,
yeah.
you know, one of the great things about these talks is having the opportunity to ask questions of these really, you know, important nationally important scholars who come to campus.
Well, looking at it from an environmental perspective, I think is fascinating. And you're right. We have to take responsibility for climate change. And we're at such a frustrating point right now when some people just are digging their heels in and refuse to acknowledge the scientific perspective on this and that we're responsible. So I'm glad she's going to come in and give us a unique look at Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, the 200th anniversary of that book. And it is amazing that Mary Shelley wrote that as a woman.
And as a 19-year-old.
A 19-year-old. I know. That's incredible. Yeah. And to publish it anonymously, because I would think maybe it would have been easier to publish it under a man's name that she just made up like so many other women authors did. The Communities in Conversation lecture series at Rhodes College bringing in Dr. Claire Colebrook of Penn State University. She's speaking as part of the global celebration of the 200th anniversary of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Again, that happens Thursday, November the 15th at 6 p.m. in Hardy Auditorium. A reception precedes that lecture at 5:30. And this, again, is free and open to the public. For more information, you can follow Communities in Conversation on Facebook. They're at Twitter at Rhodes_CIC, Instagram at Rhodes_CIC, or you can also call to get information at 843-3292. Jonathan Judakin and Judy Haas, my guests this morning. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.